9:30, and we're going to get started with today's conference call. This is Jim Page with the Chamber of Commerce of West Alabama, and I want to thank you all for taking a few minutes out of your crazy schedules right now to participate in this call. We are joined today by four great leaders in this community, and certainly friends to the Chamber and friends to the community, and I want to thank them in advance for taking a few minutes out of their busy schedules to bring us all an update as to where their respective jurisdictions stand responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we are joined by Paul Betts, the Chief Operating Officer at DCH Health System, also Mayor Donna Aaron from the City of Northport, Mayor Walt Maddox from the City of Tuscaloosa, and Probate Judge Rob Robertson from the Tuscaloosa County Commission. Again, I want to thank them all for being with us this morning. We are recording this call, and we will have it posted to our website, TuscaloosaChamber.com, to the COVID-19 section later this morning, so that you can go back and review that again, or certainly share that information with others who may be interested in hearing the information that we have this morning. So we're going to start with Paul from DCH and get a health update, see where the hospital stands now, and then we will proceed with the rest of our elected officials in alphabetical order. And so I'm going to start now by turning the call over to Paul.
Great. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you hosting this conference call. I want to begin my comments this morning around testing and confirmed cases that we're experiencing at DCH. As of yesterday's report, we were treating 7 inpatients for COVID-19. This morning, we are treating 17 inpatients with confirmed COVID-19. So why did we have the big jump overnight? This is an evolving process, and we are constantly looking to improve both our flow of information and treatment processes. At any given time through the course of this event, we've had 40 to 65 individuals in the hospital with COVID-19 symptoms, but who had not yet been confirmed to have the virus. These individuals are known as persons under investigation, or we call them for short PUIs. They've been isolated and treated with the same safety precautions as if they had been confirmed to have the virus. And I'll talk more about that in a moment, but on Monday we announced that we can now test in-house in under 8 hours. Combined with rapid turnaround times from Diatherix, another lab, for the more acute patients, we saw a rapid decrease from 61 PUIs yesterday to 14 this morning. This faster turnaround is cutting down on the lag time, and we are starting to get a more real-time picture of what is happening. As I said, it has not changed how we have been caring for those we suspected of having the virus. So far, we continue to be fortunate in that even with the rise in confirmed cases, the acuity levels remain generally low. This morning, we have 6 COVID patients in the ICUs, and 5 or fewer are on ventilators. By any measure so far, the caseload has been well within our capacity. And that's the good news. Unfortunately, now is not the time to let up on our efforts at social distancing as the number of those testing positive in the community continues to climb. On March 31st, DCH testing had yielded 18 positives and 604 negatives for a rate of 2.98% positives among those tested. As of today, we were at 131 positives and 2,732 negatives with a positive rate of 4.5%. We're optimistic, but we do not feel we've hit the peak of this event yet. Regarding overall capacity, the last time on our last call, I reported that our normal average daily census at DCH Regional Medical Center is typically in the low 400s. This has continued to trend downward, with our DCH Regional Medical Center census today being 285, certainly well within our normal capacity. In terms of having capacity for treating COVID-positive patients, this is very good news as it relates to overall community health. The trend is concerning. So I want to ask that do not put off care if you are not well. If you need to come to the hospital, please understand we have put into place extensive measures to keep you safe from infection. If you need care, we are here for you. Regarding screening, the storms this past Sunday damaged our screening and testing tents, so Monday the site was closed while repairs were made and screening resumed Tuesday. Testing was still available in the emergency department during this downtime. Other than occasional issues like weather, the testing volume has continued at a gradually declining rate. When we first started the effort, we were seeing as many as 400 vehicles a day. Last week, we saw about 70 per day, though weekends have been dramatically lower. For example, this past Saturday, we only saw 18 cars and collected 15 tests. So for now, the screening service will continue Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Weekend hours will continue to be announced as we monitor the need and our capacity. As promised, let me share a little more detail on our revised testing efforts. We have been working with the vendor Becton Dickinson, the maker of DCH's BD Max molecular diagnostic testing system, to be able to test specimens in-house for the presence of COVID-19. After thorough testing, the equipment can now produce reliable results in 8 hours or less. Supplies that work with the equipment are very limited, so in-house testing will initially be used to help facilitate the transfer of patients to lower acuity facilities. DCH has been using the Diatherics lab for high acuity inpatients and will likely continue to do so in situations where alternative supplies continue to be low and patient care will not be negatively impacted by a 36-hour turnaround time. For now, LabCorp will continue to be used for lower acuity cases on non-hospitalized patients, including the tent screening. We continue to see advances in how to combat this virus, and we will keep seeking the best practices and share with you our progress. Regarding our preparations, I previously spoke about converting 14 additional rooms into negative pressure rooms and securing 27 HEPA filtration systems to convert still more. We have also been working to put into place the best practices learned from other care sites around the world. One of those is to cohort patients, or in other words, to place patients of a similar type into a single unit or area. In the case of confirmed COVID-19 patients or those who have the symptoms and are being evaluated, this is especially important. Staff members in those units follow additional PPE protocols and are aware of the required precautions to keep themselves and others safe from infection. Here are just a few changes we have recently made to create cohorted units to accommodate a potential surge in COVID cases. The units we call 5 South and 6 Southwest are being dedicated to the acute care of COVID patients. The Cardiac Intensive Care Unit, or CICU, is being dedicated to ICU-level COVID patients and has had 7 of its rooms converted to negative pressure since last week. The typical CICU patient population is being cared for in our trauma ICU. Medical ICU 1 will be utilized for COVID patients if more ICU beds are necessary. Our pediatric unit on 3 Southeast had its 14 beds converted into negative pressure. The pediatric patients have been moved to 3 North and cohorted into the mother-baby area. We will continue to evaluate cohorting of patients and their safe placement inside the hospital as volumes demand. Additionally, we've been working with the city and the Army Corps of Engineers to identify additional alternative care sites should they be needed. Such sites would allow lower acuity patients to be properly cared for while freeing up space in the hospital for higher acuity patients. The primary site identified is in the medical tower here on the DCH Regional Medical Center campus. Regarding community support, DCH has been the recipient of so many of the talents of our community members. This outpouring has been amazing and just frankly humbling. Here are a few things of note that have been going on around the community support. DCH has been having a harder and harder time sourcing masks, but we have not wanted to risk the health of those providing care with unknown protective properties of the materials being used in the creation of community-made masks. A University of Florida health article demonstrated the creation of masks using medical-grade sterilization fabric and materials. DCH was able to source the fabric, and over 280 community members, as well as Mercedes-Benz and Roma Enterprises, a furniture manufacturer in Winfield, has stepped forward to offer their sewing skills. So far, 1,500 masks have been made and up to 17,000 may be eventually produced. Each mask can be sterilized and reused up to 20 times. Community members have also been donating masks made out of normal fabric. These masks are being used in non-clinical areas. Mercedes donated 30,000 masks to the Tuscaloosa County EMA last week. Tuscaloosa County EMA distributed the masks to first responders, including fire, police, and EMS. And DCH received 9,000 of those masks. Mercedes, several departments at the University of Alabama, and Pfeiffer Wire have partnered to produce face shields. Additionally, Mercedes and Alabama Central Glass have both produced special boxes that cover a patient's head and protect providers during procedures that might make a patient cough or spit, such as when an air tube is being inserted. UA's Department of Biological Sciences is helping to produce viral transport media so that the stability of patient samples collected at DCH is maintained during transport. There are two main components to most swab samples. There is the swab itself, and there is the solution the swab is transported in. Dr. Carol Duffy in UA's Department of Biological Sciences created a batch of 800 tubes of viral transport media using CDC's protocol. Walmart donated a large supply of cleaning solutions and sanitizing wipes. Members of the community have been writing notes or making paintings or drawings to thank healthcare workers, and hundreds of pieces of artwork have come in. DCH's normal suppliers are saying they cannot get hand sanitizer anytime soon, so we started looking at local options. Tuscaloosa's own Left Hand Soap Company stepped in to supply 400 gallons for DCH to purchase. In addition, plastic bottles are in short supply, so they worked with Piper and Leaf Tea Company in Huntsville to source glass bottles for their retail orders and provide plastic for DCH, which is much easier to handle in bulk. Finally, you may have heard of the Feeding the Frontlines program. The idea came from business owners on the DCH Foundation board who saw a need to help support both the community businesses and provide a moral boost to the healthcare workers. The project quickly grew beyond the walls of the hospital to include community first responders as well. For each $250 donation, a meal could be purchased from a local restaurant and provided to an entire department. In just 2 weeks, $110,000 in donations have come in. Over 5,000 meals have been delivered or scheduled for DCH departments, and all departments at all campuses have been fed at least once at this point in time. 2,000 meals have been delivered or scheduled for first responders in the community. 155 donors have contributed. If you are interested in participating, contact Brant Lapish in the DCH Foundation office her email address is elizabeth.lapish, L-A-P-I-S-H, at dchsystem.com. Again, that is elizabeth.lapish, L-A-P-I-S-H, at dchsystem.com. And a final few notes here on additional safety measures. Last time I talked about the limitations on visitors, for the most part, not much has changed on that. In most areas, no visitors are allowed, and in some situations, a single visitor is allowed. A new component to this has been the addition of technology to help family and friends to stay connected. iPads have been purchased and deployed throughout the hospital. Nursing staff and leadership have helped patients use the devices to connect video chats with family and friends. Additionally, we have secured touchless thermometers, some of which were donated, to conduct temperature screenings at all entrances. And finally, you may be aware that we have initiated universal masking. If you visit one of our campuses, you will be asked to wear a mask. The intent is to provide an additional layer of protection for everyone involved. It has increased our usage rate of masks dramatically, but the community support we have received, we believe, will help us sustain the effort through the worst of this. Thank you again to the community for everything being done to support our efforts. Please be sure to look at dchsystem.com for our daily updates on volumes and other COVID-related news. Jim, that's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Paul. That was a terrific update and inspiring, certainly, to hear the community's response to your team of heroes there at the hospital. You made one quick point, and I want to see if you could answer this. You did make the statement that we do not feel we've hit the peak yet of cases. Any ballpark guesses today as to when the peak, we think we will hit the peak?
I think it kind of depends on the models you look at. There are different peaks at different models. One has later in April that will peak. Another model has in June. So it really just kind of depends. You know, our efforts are to prepare as best we can, continue to refine our processes, and be prepared for whatever comes our way.
I understand. Well, thank you again for your leadership and for being so detailed in your update. Mayor Donna Aaron from the City of Northport, we'd love to turn the call over to you to get your comments.
Thank you, Jim. Really do appreciate your hosting this. I think this is a very good way for everybody to kind of keep up to breath with what everybody else is doing. And of course, we all have our own situations that we are dealing with, but at least we can know what others are doing and possibly get a little suggestions from something that someone else has done. From the very beginning, we instituted a Choose Northport priority to help our businesses in Northport. And we've been doing that as much as we can, especially while they were open, the ones that were open. But we have tried very hard to support that slogan, Choose Northport, and to do what they can in Northport. The city itself will do everything to purchase in Northport that they can. That is a priority. That's a way to try to help keep some of our businesses afloat for the time being. We also have an instant command that we committee that we set up at the beginning, which they meet, I think, daily or at least every other day to look at the situations that they have been tasked to handle and to make sure that those things that they are tasked to handle, if there's updates, they pass it along. If there are things that need to be changed, they change those. And, of course, it's always been a forever-changing situation, so things are changed all the time and usually for the best. We have an economic recovery committee coordinator in that committee, who's Max Snyder, who is working with our businesses, small businesses, to try to point them in the right direction that what help is available to them and trying to walk them through that help. He keeps up to date on all of these programs that they are eligible to receive, and he works with them. I'm sure a lot of these small businesses are individually owned businesses. They're not accustomed to going through the federal guidelines to obtain whatever stimulus that they can obtain. So he's a big help to them, to help them try to stay afloat after this, because a lot of them, of course, as you know, are closed. At the beginning, also, we put all of our forms, we were right on the cusp of doing this, putting all of our forms that if you needed business license, if you needed building permit, any of those things, they were put online so that you just go online and you deal with them electronically and take care of them. Another thing that we have tried to do is make it as easy for our folks as we can. Those who are struggling with whatever it is, with their water bill, water sewer bill, if they're struggling with that, you know, all they have to do is get in touch with us. It's very easy to do. And we will work with you on a one-to-one basis to figure out what is the best route for you and for the city so that you will be the least affected by this. Your water will not be cut off. And I've heard some people say, well, if I can't pay my bill, I've been told my water will be cut off. That is not true. Your water will not be cut off. We'll just address your situation as to payment at a later date. There won't be, as far as I understand, there won't be fees or late charges or anything like that, of course. Same thing with businesses. If you are late with your taxes or your getting your business licenses up to date, none of that will be, those things will be dealt with on case by case. So that whatever's best for you is what we will work with you to do. We have, as I said, an economic recovery team that is really working with the small businesses. He keeps in touch with them on a regular basis. They're also in the process of resurrecting, and we had talked about this a little bit before this corona struck us, about bringing back to life the Norfolk downtown committee, which helps with recruiting businesses, helping businesses get started, all of these kinds of things. But we have talked about starting that over, and that has become front page process. We're in the process of trying to do that. It's kind of difficult, and I'm sure Mayor Maddox and Judge Robertson can allude to this. It's difficult to carry on council meetings the way we're trying to do them and trying to stay safe. To do them by phone, to do them by call-ins, and still maintain the letter of the law that we have to do with the Open Meetings Act. But it is a struggle. But we are doing it just as they are doing it. You know, we've been blessed, too, to have a lot of folks step up to the plate to help our police, our fire, our city hall folks, our public works folks, all of whom have worked extra hard on trying to make sure that our public is safe and our public is still getting the things that they need, and that we are safe as far as our employees. But they have stepped up the plate and provide meals for our folks, which we are eternally grateful. And the only thing that I've asked when they have approached me about doing this is to make sure that they use Northport restaurants as much as possible. And so far they are trying to do just that, and that was their intention to begin with. So we've been very blessed with that. That has certainly been a bright spot in all of their days and all of our days, to have people recognize that they are really doing quite a bit over and beyond what is normally required. One group in particular that has provided for all of these entities, the police, the fire, City Hall, and Public Works. City Hall also provided lunch for the Northport Hospital folks. which we also recognize their importance as far as our community is concerned. We have we just work day to day with our citizens to try to answer their questions, and businesses to answer their questions and point them all in the right direction, whatever we think will be best for them. That's really about all I have. I think we're all in the same boat, and I would like to say that the Chamber has been helpful in a lot of areas through all of this, and we do appreciate that. They've offered some assistance, and they've been true and have come around and done a lot of things to help our citizens in our city as well, and we do appreciate that, Jim. But unless you have some questions, you know, I've just done a little thumbnail that what we are up to.
Well, I thank you for those comments, Mayor, and thank you for your leadership, and thank you for your participation this morning. If people, businesses in Northport wanted to follow up with the city on resources and talk to someone specifically, where would they go to find that information?
Thank you, Joe. Either to the webpage or to our email. It's a call may be the quickest way, too. They will call 205-339-7000 and ask for Max Snyder. He has spent many an hour making sure he's kept up to date with everything that we are eligible for, and to point those folks in that direction. Well, some things we are not, but he makes sure that those are not passed along to the ones who are in need of help. But that's where they should go. And our webpage, if people have questions too, and I'm sorry I did leave that off, I see it on my notes. The webpage is kept up to date very regularly, if not every day, every other day. They try to keep everything on the webpage to make sure that it's out there for folks to see. But as a rule, if you have a question, if you just call 205-339-7000 and talk to the operator there, they will hit you in the right direction that you need to go.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Mayor, for your time, and I can certainly attest to Max. He's a hard worker and a problem solver, and he's certainly there to help folks. And so I encourage any Northport business that's listening that wants to reach out to Max, I encourage them to do so. So thank you again for your time, Mayor. Mayor Maddox, we'll turn the call over to you.
Thank you, Jim, and certainly want to echo Mayor Aaron and Paul about thanking the Chamber for hosting this. One of the greatest challenges we have is to communicate with the people who pay our salaries. And so I really appreciate you and the Chamber team for what you've been doing to help our business community. Let me just kind of jump right in with sort of the news of the day, and that is the hard work of this community has paid off. And when you look at our numbers over the past 3 weeks, it's clear that we have taken great strides to flatten that curve, and that's not by accident. When you look at other counties throughout the state, even with less populations, we're in much better shape. A lot of that has to do with the work of DCH, and they have just done, they've been miracle workers, quite frankly, and their team over there on the front lines have helped this community in ways both seen and unseen that we owe them a debt we may never be able to repay. But it's also due to the people on this call, the small businesses who've had to sacrifice so much. It has to do with the 6,000 people in Tuscaloosa County who lost their jobs as a result of this. And it has to do with us as individuals who have taken the hard social distancing, reduced our temptations to gather in large groups, to do the things necessary to beat the coronavirus. And we have made significant progress. So in a couple of weeks, my hope is that on April 28th, I'll be presenting a responsible plan to our community to reopen. Now, April 28th, there's nothing magical about it, and something could come sooner or something could come later, because ultimately the virus, as Dr. Fauci says, it's the virus that dictates the timeline, not us. But right now, that seems a pretty good date. By that time, the governor's office will have completed their research, the congressional task force will have completed their research. We'll have another 10 to 14 days of data to help guide our decision-making. And in this decision, when we make a recommendation to reopen, there are going to be three essential elements that we're going to have. Number one, it has to be healthcare driven. And it's going to be reviewed and approved by our medical team. In fact, I told Dr. Wilson, who is chief medical officer for DCH at this morning's briefing, he has veto power over any recommendations that I make. If we feel that it's going to jeopardize the health, safety, and welfare of this community, we're not going to move forward with it. And I'm going to trust on the medical team that we've been relying on to guide us. We cannot erase the sacrifices that everyone has made by having a second wave come in that jeopardized even more lives and livelihoods. Next, that any responsible reopening plan that I present is going to have to abide by the orders of the governor and Alabama Department of Public Health. And lastly, it's going to have to be flexible enough to meet the healthcare trends within our community. So we're looking at this point at many different options. We're going to be exploring that. Brendan Moore is leading a project team for the city, and I know that he's reaching out to many within the business community to get your thoughts. But I do believe, you know, based off what we know today, is that the data is clear that we have made significant progress. And it would be premature to reopen today, but it's not premature in begin the planning stages for reopening. And so we look forward over the next 10 to 14 days of working with the chamber, working with the business community, and working with our healthcare providers and ensuring what we do solves the healthcare crisis and gets a solid restart to our economy. Lastly, I want to thank our team here at the city. You know, handling a pandemic is taxing enough, and then having a small tornado touchdown Sunday night, and for Chief Smith and our incident command team to pivot and deal with what they've dealt with. Our city and our team members did a fantastic job, from our firefighters to our police officers to our environmental services crew. The quality of the people that work for you every day, the public servants here, are second to none. And that same sort of quality and passion for doing what is right for Tuscaloosa will go into our decision-making on a responsible reopening plan for our city. Again, I will close by saying April 28th is the target date, but by no means is it going to be one that I'm going to hold fast to. This, as Dr. Fauci said again, the virus dictates the timeline, and we'll be working with the chamber to streamline this process, and we certainly will want feedback from the chamber as we move forward. With that, Jim, I appreciate this opportunity, and I'll be happy to answer questions at the end. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that, and I know those words are music to a lot of people's ears, because I think a lot of business owners certainly understand the health risk and health concerns we're dealing with now, but everybody's trying to look over the horizon and kind of know what's next. And so certainly that gives everyone a lot of optimism as we go forward. Mayor, same question I asked Mayor Aaron. If someone on the call wanted more information about City of Tuscaloosa specific initiatives as it's relating to this, where should they go? Who should they talk to?
Well, there's two places. One, Tuscaloosa.com/COVID-19 has the latest up-to-date information. And our social media feeds, and my personal social media feeds as well as the city, have the most up-to-date information. And then Brendan Moore is going to be leading our task force on this, our Economic Reinvestment and Accountability Task Force, which is going to be responsible for overseeing the reopening, the responsible reopening of Tuscaloosa. You can contact Brendan at bmoore@tuscaloosa.com is his email address. Or just call 311, and they will probably have to leave him a message, but he will get back in touch with you or one of his team members. This is an unbelievable task. I mean, when we dealt with April 27th, we were dealing with 356 businesses, over 12.5% of the city. We're dealing with nearly 10,000 businesses over the entire city and police jurisdiction. So the work that our team will be doing over the next 10 to 14 days will be extraordinary. And so Brendan certainly is going to be charged with not only creating a plan, but getting feedback and information from the chamber, because what we want to do is something that protects the health, safety, and welfare of our community while getting this economic engine restarted and restarted in a way that propels us back to where we were sooner rather than later.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Mayor, and I'm going to echo that about Brendan. He's a trusted partner of ours, and we don't talk every day, but we talk almost every day, and so I encourage anyone listening with a business in the city of Tuscaloosa to certainly reach out to Brendan, provide feedback, and certainly we can also be a feedback loop as well if you want to reach out to us as part of this process. So thank you again, Mayor. All right, and the last speaker, but certainly not least, our probate judge, Rob Robertson. Judge?
All right, well, good morning, Jim. First, I'd like to also thank you, the chamber, watching y'all pivot and work so dynamically through this over the last number of weeks has been amazing. We've gone from tight labor to total labor shifts throughout all this that everyone's wrestling with and the hardship that the small business especially has been going through. But y'all have done everything imaginable to try to keep good communication, give resources via teleconference, and stay on top of the pulse of the needs as they develop. And just want to say thank you on behalf of the commission for working and doing just what you've been doing. DCH, Paul's briefing was outstanding. You know, they continue to labor daily to work through this along with the city of Tuscaloosa and Northport, the county here. You know, we work through this methodically. It is absolutely uncertain. And I tell my team in our briefings here at County Incident Command that, you know, it's each day is different. We are changing literally multiple things every day of how we deliver services, but that's exactly what you have to do to work through an event like this, as we all know. I do want to update a little bit on County Commission. The services of the County Commission all remain operational. As I stated, we brief regularly with the Incident Command team across all our departments, one of which was just this morning, and make sure everybody stays up to speed on whatever is changing or that we know is coming and how we need to adjust through that. A lot of it is also personnel matter related. As you know, we're deemed essential workers. We have to continue to function. We see it as our true duty to make sure that we completely operate and serve the needs of this community through thick or thin. So we're constantly having to adapt and figure out, along with everyone else, of how to make that work on a daily basis. There are a number of new modes of operation that we've employed here at the county. Some of the services that you may would have expected to have to come to the courthouse or walk up to a window at the TAG office to do have been rapidly shifting online. A number of these initiatives were planned to come this year. We're moving that up, and we've really started rolling out new ways of doing transactions, now including even the title transfer on vehicles. The county serves as the transactional arm of the state. So many of these services that we rely on to buy and sell property and vehicles and, of course, property tax collections and disbursement and records and people doing end-of-life planning and estate planning and all that is part of services that we have to make sure not only stay operational, but become easier to access. So we've done a number of things to make that happen, and we will continue to do so to try to minimize the need that people have to do an in-person transaction. And, you know, that's the goal through this time. I honestly don't see a lot of that disappearing. I think that a lot of these changes will absolutely be permanent to make it easier for citizens to access services. But if there's any silver lining in that, I think that that will be one of them. We will have a lot more options in the way you access government remotely after this period. I do want to hit a few high points related to some of the services that we provide, one being courthouse. The state courts are open and operational. They are limited as to what they can do as far as in-person. There are no jury trials, but there are specific hearings that have to be done in person, child protection orders, emergency mental health orders that I handle in my court, a number of different hearings, I should say, not orders, that still require in-person presence, but the mass gatherings, of course, have been suspended by the Supreme Court, but we're doing our best to accommodate what has to be done and make sure people have the services they need through the court system. Public safety is another major area that we are responsible for at the county level. Of course, the sheriff, his team have been working very hard across the whole county. We're responsible for enforcing the ADPH and state order across the county. So that has been moving along fine. I think they've had that under control. The big area that, of course, we've been working to mitigate is the jail and making sure that every effort is in place to safeguard the inmates, the jail, and prevent any kind of outbreak that could occur in our jail population. So that's been an area of focus from the public safety side, as well as just the normal calls for service that by no means have let up. Roads and bridges, of course, maintaining the roads, we have continued to do. We have flood repairs. We have a number of projects that now looks like FEMA will be approving from the prior flooding event this year, but those projects and the engineering related to that, all those planning and execution efforts are underway to get those repairs made. Nothing has changed there. The other projects, when I talked about mail and online as far as remote access, the best list of changes, if you want to get updated, because we are constantly getting updates from a number of state agencies, Department of Revenue, and because, as I said, we are the transactional arm. We are posting that. We do have a COVID page. If you go to tusco.com, that's with two C's, /COVID-19, that's where we post any major operational update or if there's an extension on taxes or renewals for tags or anything of that nature. That's where it's being posted. We are putting major changes out on Twitter and Facebook, the county as well. The phone number for the courthouse is 349-3870. And there are a lot of random questions about what's operating or how to access this, that, or the other. That's the general number that we can sure assist with. I will shift gears, talk a little bit about the storm cleanup. The mayor alluded to this. I know we were all had a bumpy night, Sunday night, but we had almost 10,000 customers across the county that were out of power after Sunday night's storm. As of last night, most all those customers are restored. They've been out there nonstop with Alabama Power and the subcontractor restoring power across the county. At one point, we had 60 roads blocked in the county due to trees down. That has been worked through with our public works, and some of it has to be in conjunction with the power company when power lines are involved. But that has, for the most part, all been cleared. And although there is random structural damage across the county, some roof damage here and there, it was straight-line winds. We do have the confirmed EF1 that went through North River, which was absolutely the most dense clustering of trees and light structural damage that went through there. But that is the way it appears. The county did lose a microwave tower in the north part of the county, which knocked out emergency communications, or I should say severely degraded. We had an emergency meeting of the commission yesterday and allocated some funds to update the technology, which was already being planned in the next year or two, buy some new radios to handle 700 megahertz conversion for the north part of the county, which is the fastest way to restore those emergency communications. But in closing, I want to thank, and there is a lot, and another mayor stated this, that goes on during these events. But we had 21 volunteer fire departments, Northport, Tuscaloosa first responders, and the public works teams that were out there doing amazing work all through the night to make sure that operations are restored and people can get about safely. And I can't say thank you enough. The emergency management team, the consolidated call center out at the new operations center, they were just humming along through the event, and that was just good to see. With that, I will conclude. That's the main updates from the county, and I, too, will be glad to answer any questions at the end here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Judge, and I know the storm just added an extra layer of difficulty about what everybody's already dealing with, but I appreciate everyone's quick response to that, and I know we all are blessed that it wasn't any worse than it was, so we can certainly look at that silver lining. But no specific questions here toward the end. I think you all covered a lot, and certainly you gave us contact information and resources for follow-up if anyone needed to do that. But quickly in closing, in addition to any closing comments you may have, I would like to hear from all three of you about what can the community do right now to help you or to support your respective jurisdictions if there are any issues that are hanging out there. Mayor Aaron, I'll start with you.
I think our public has been very responsive to doing what they've been asked to do. I do know sometimes I think I stay in as much as I can. I go to the grocery store and I go get medicine and gas in the car, which is not very often because we're not going anywhere. But I have passed by, you know, places like Lowe's and Walmart and that are Walmart's partially a grocery store. But I know those parking lots are packed. And I know it is everybody's at home and working in yards, which is a good thing. But I just hope that they're all practicing the social distancing. And I have noticed that several places have asked that when you come in their store that you wear a mask, which I think is a good idea. And I do know that they have counters at the door, especially at the grocery stores that I go to. And, you know, they've got it marked off how far you have to be. And then you can move up as they let people in and people come out. So I think our community has been, for the most part, very receptive in doing what they've been asked to do. I think they've been supportive. You know, I've just been very pleased with how our people have stepped up to the plate. And I think in a lot of ways it has brought people together. You know, I know I've checked on folks that are not as healthy as I am to make sure they're okay and to make sure if I can get their groceries and their medicine if they need it. I don't go in their houses. I take it to the door and I put it on their porch or somewhere close by and they go out and get it after I've left. So I think that we are probably looking out after each other a little more than we did in the past, and I hope that does not go away. But I really think that's some of the good things that we have done, and I'm not so sure that the community has not done what we've asked them to do for the most part. And I know everybody hasn't, but I don't know that. And I am proud of our community, and I say that just not only in Norfolk, but the whole county, the city of Tuscaloosa. I think people are responsive to do what they're asked to do. And I just, you know, hope that continues, and I hope, as Mayor Maddox has said, as we begin to be able to come out of this pandemic, that we still continue to practice safety above all for each other so that it does not reoccur and we can continue on slowly to a way of life that, unfortunately, that we are going to have to become used to. But things change as we go along. But I thank you for asking, and you know, I think we're doing fine so far.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Maddox, question to you.
Yes, sir, Jim. And again, thank you for hosting this. And to all the business owners out there, thank you for your sacrifices you've made on behalf of our community. I believe we're at the second most dangerous period of this pandemic. The first was finding the right amount of support to take the initial first steps that we did in Tuscaloosa ahead of the state, and that certainly has given us this position that we're in today, and that's seeing hope on the horizon. But the reason why this is the second most dangerous time in this crisis is because when you have hope is when mistakes begin to happen. We have to make certain that over the next couple of weeks that we continue what we've started, that we practice the social distancing, we live within the confines of this new life. I know for many of you it's extremely disruptive and puts everything for you financially at risk. I can't begin to imagine. All of us have lost something along the way. you know, many of you have heard me say that I was hoping to see Taylor walk across that stage and graduate and see her go to her senior prom. We've all lost things, both memories and in some cases many of you could lose everything. These sacrifices, large and small, have to mean something. And so let's finish strong over the next couple of weeks, and then let's begin building a workable, responsible plan that reopens our economy and gets us back to full footing before we get into fall, so that we're ready to embrace that time of year that's so special here in Tuscaloosa. To each of you, you've had my prayers from the very beginning, and may God continue to bless you, and may God continue to bless Northport and Tuscaloosa County, who have been such wonderful partners, and may God continue to bless the city of Tuscaloosa. Thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Well said. Judge, closing thoughts?
Just briefly, as far as the community, I'd very much like to thank those that have reached out, our faith leaders, and those that have been praying for the leadership all over this community, the state, the nation. I think that is absolutely key. I think a lot of people are reassessing a lot of things in life, and I just ask for, you know, people's continued patience, but continuing to look across the community as a whole as we work together to, you know, do things a little differently, but keeping in mind that we have to stay safe. And as much as all of us would love to just go sit down and have a meal at City Cafe, we have to wait. And we've got to continue to be mindful that this thing is not over. We're going to be wrestling with this in waves, up and down, you know, through this who knows how long. I think that's fact. But we all are very eager to get back to a normalcy and back to work. So as soon as that's practical and it can be safely done, I think we'll all be cheering and be doing it with a new mindset going forward. But I just want to say thank you, and thank you again for everybody for all you're doing to work through this daily. That's it.
Well, thank you, Judge. And again, thanks to all four speakers for your time today. I appreciate that very much. You know, we can't control any mixed messages that come out of Washington or even at the state level, but we do appreciate the collaboration that happens throughout the year between the three primary government jurisdictions here in Tuscaloosa County. And one request I would certainly make this morning on behalf of the business community is that as we go forward with the reopening of business and the relaunching of our local economy, that wherever possible, we do so as a united front, that the three government jurisdictions work together so that it's more seamless and it's easier for our business owners, particularly those who may have multiple locations throughout Tuscaloosa County. And so that's one request I do want to make on behalf of our business community, and I know it's one that's something that the three of you are already in conversation about now, so I appreciate that very much. I want to thank all the participants on the call today. I know ran it a little long, but this information was really critical today, and so I appreciate your time. I want to urge everyone to visit the Chamber's website, the COVID-19 section, lots of updates on the latest on this issue, and also a recording of this call will be posted later today. And then I want to encourage everyone to participate tomorrow morning for another timely call where we're going to be talking about the hiring process amid chaos. There are still essential businesses that are hiring right now that need employees. I got a call early this morning from someone looking for employees. And then obviously we have more than our fair share of displaced workers in the community who are looking for jobs, looking for employment. And so the call tomorrow will help connect those dots. And we're also going to pivot on that call and start talking about when we do open the business, broader business community back up, what does a safe and responsible and measured phased-in approach look like for businesses? What responsible steps do business owners need to take once we start that conversation in earnest? So I hope you'll join us tomorrow morning. As always, if you have any questions for the Chamber, reach out to us. We're here for you 24/7 to help you and your business community. So without further ado, we stand adjourned. Thank you.